untold is a constituency issue. But we must start so that we finish as soon as possible, so that we are able to go to our constituency and go and do the work which we're supposed to do over the weekend. DG, I hope you are ready. If you are, you can take us through what you've got. 40 minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will strive to do the presentation in 40 minutes, though the presentation is a little bit long. Chairperson, can I, Honourable Chairperson, can I humbly request that we introduce the team? I'm Lucy Sekes, the DG of the Department of Communications. And on my left is Farhad Osman, who is the Chief Director for Strategic Planning. And after him is Mr. Sam Villagazi, who is the Acting DG for Finance and IT for Enterprise. After him is Mr. Neman Mzelele, who is the Acting DG for Policy and Development. And then after him is Ms. Angie Mkhabudu, who is the Director for Health in the Presidential.
Sort of
amplify the voices too low.
Okay. DG, you talk with a short, flat voice or a rally voice.
No, that's fine, I'll do that. Let me start with the introduction. On my left is Mr. Farhad Osman, who's the Chief Director for Strategic Planning. After him is Mr. Sam Villagas, who's the Acting DG for Finance and Enterprise and Branch. And then followed by Mr. Norman Mzelele, Acting DDG for Policy Development. And then after Norman is Ms. Angie Mkhabudu, who is the Director for eHealth in the Presidential National Commission. After Angie is Dr. Harold Vesso, who is a DDG or Acting CEO in the eSkills. After Dr. Vesso is Mr. Gift Vutel is DDG for International Affairs, ICT International Affairs Branch. And then after Gift is Lyndon Petzer, who's the Chief Director for Radio Frequency and Satellite Management in the department. And then after Lyndon is Ms. Kiriboni Sekwele, Chief Director for Human Resource Management in the department. And lastly is Ms. Pelsopela, who is the Chief Director for Communication. Honourable Chairperson, even though the presentation that we've prepared is a bit longish, but I think we will try in the next 40 minutes to be to conclude the presentation. In a nutshell, Chairperson, maybe just to explain the reason why we are here is to focus on the department's performance for the period of 01 April 2011 to 30 June 2011. The presentation mainly focuses on the targets that we've set against the strategic plan. And you would note that even though we are presenting the presentation during the month of August, some of the areas, if not most, there has been very good progress. But we'll try to focus on progress up to 30 June. But in key areas where we believe that members will be interested in us giving more information, I think the respective presenter will try to bring in a little bit of a state of to date. Over and above presenting the performance, we would also focus on what are the corrective measures that we put in place to address areas where we had a number of challenges in terms of achieving progress. And lastly, we would then address the financial performance as set of 30 June 2011. What I thought we should do, members, is maybe to just to bring in a little bit of context as to what the presentation is all about. In the main, this presentation or the delivery of the strategic plan, firstly, is about supporting the political principle, that is the Minister of Communications. When he started last year, he spoke about a number of flagship projects, that is six, and those flagship projects are supported by key areas that we are going to be talking to. And in the main, the key area that we are pushing strongly as a department with regard to access is the repositioning of the public broadcaster in the changing environment. I think to note when we talk about the changing environment, critical is the broadcasting environment, to say, as the public broadcaster in the so-called broadcasting environment, with the provisioning of additional channels, what is the role that we would like to believe that the public broadcaster should occupy? Critical in supporting the provision of the quality of education, the quality of health, those in the main are things that we believe should be considered. The next issue that we are also working very strongly as a department is the acceleration of the implementation of the broadcasting digital migration policy within the agreed timelines. Next is the modernization of the postal and financial services, followed by, in the main, the provision of broadband services. But overall, all these critical programs are underpinned by the rural development programs, because we believe that unless we strategically address the rural development, we will not be able to achieve some of the key challenges that we are facing as a country. Coupled with the provision of access, what is important is, unless services are affordable, we're going to find that we are not able to address the issues of uptake and usage. Hence, we believe that one of the key areas that we really need to address is the high cost of telephone in South Africa, but coupled with that is the cost of broadband, especially with the need to make broadband accessible. The next issue, which is also being viewed as the next wave, is the provision of content to ensure that as we make broadband accessible, as we come up with additional channels in the broadcasting environment, that content becomes available, but not becomes available, but how does content transform and diversify the industry. The next critical issue that we are also working very strongly towards is the growth of the ICT sector, which is a critical element, especially for us as a department, with regard to our contribution in the economic sector. That is to ensure that we develop a competitive ICT industry, which is crucial for the long-term development of the country, but also to ensure that there's a development of an arching strategy for the development of the manufacturing capability. I think on this one, we would elaborate a lot more later in the presentation when we talk about the sector box manufacturing strategy. But lastly, creating the green ICT product and services market in support of eco-friendly economic growth. Overall, all these initiatives that we are talking to, in the main, they must ensure that we unlock the potential of the ICT industry to create jobs. But over and above that, we need to ensure that we also develop the necessary skills that are required. And our initiative in this area is the establishment of the eSkills Institute. The next issue is the institutional alignment, where we believe that we need to have a strong leadership and a coordination towards a coherent ICT policy in support of the developmental agenda. We believe that unless we have that, it's going to be difficult for us to deliver on some of the challenges that we are facing. And also, the need to address corporate governance, funding, as well as the structural issues in the public broadcaster. Lastly, also what is very, very critical is the capacity of the regulator, but more important, the development of alternative funding models for ICASA. I'm going to skip this slide in the interest of time, but in the main, it really shows the hierarchy of how we deal with the cascading our strategy. But noting that we are focusing on the first quarter reporting of 2011-2012. This next slide, Chairperson, I will then hand over to Acting DDG Nomen Muzalele to briefly deal with it in the next few minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I'll be presenting.
Before you present, welcome, Minister. I was looking down, reading here, when I just, and I see you. No, you are most welcome. Oh, we're looking that side. I don't look like that man.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'll be taking you through the quarterly milestones of the ICT Policy Branch as they appear in the staff plan and in the business plan of the Policy Development Branch. With regard to the integrated ICT policy framework, our quarterly milestone was to do a due diligence and international benchmarking with regard to the development of the ICT policy framework. I'm happy to say that I think on this one we have finalized the due diligence on the broadcasting, telecoms, and postal white papers, and we have developed a discussion document which has served in our management structures and a process to develop the Vision 2020 coupled with that policy framework has been outlined and also presented to top management. Regarding the SAPO bill, we have actively participated in the work that the PTC was doing, which has led to the SAPO bill being formally adopted by the PTC as of 30 June 2011. The Coast Bank, our quarter milestone was to get proclamation on the bill by the President in terms of the commencement of the Act. As of 30 June, the proclamation of the Coast Bank was prepared, signed by the President, but it could not be implemented. But this activity has since been completed. The President has signed the proclamation for the 22nd July 2011. With regard to the EC amendment, our quarter one milestone was to get the bill gazetted. In quarter one, the proposals on the amendments of the Electronic Communication Bill were drafted and approved by top management. The bill at the time of 30 June was yet to be presented to the executive. This has been done. The bill has been approved by the executive. We're in the process of consulting with the CASA in terms of the provisions before we publish public comments. On the CASA amendment bill, quarter one milestone was to get the bill redrafted and stakeholder consultation conducted. Maybe honorable members will recall that this bill was approved by cabinet last year for public consultation. We have analyzed all the inputs that we have received up to so far, and also we have held further consultations with the Chapter 9 institutions in South Africa, and also do international benchmarks in terms of how other countries have dealt with the issue of the funding of independent regulator. That work is continuing, and the process to appoint a service provider is underway to do the financial modeling of the funding of the regulator. With regard to the regulatory practice assessment, quarter one, we have undertaken to do RIA on the CASA amendment bill. This has been done. That has accompanied the bill which we are currently redrafting in terms of the in terms of the implications of what we are proposing, in terms of the cost to the industry, cost to the operators, you know, as it were, going forward. Next slide. On the public broadcasting services, quarter one, we had undertaken to do research. On this one, work is underway to finalize various studies which have been commissioned. We're not only looking at public broadcasting only, but also looking at the third tier, which is the community broadcasting, you know, area of work. That the financial modeling of the public broadcasting services is underway. I think it's almost complete. Investigation, the viable business model for community TV and radio is underway. It's almost complete also. And the impact assessment of the government support program for the community radio sector is underway. It's almost complete also. We are looking at the impact of the community of the support program since 1998 of this critical sector of our broadcasting. And we have also developed the terms of reference for the broadcasting policy review that the minister have announced in his budget vote speech. We're in the process of appointing those members to be able to start with the process in terms of that work. Over and above that, we are going to conduct a market study on the broadcasting landscape. That process to appoint successor provider is currently underway. With regard to the borrowing, lending, investment policies of the Post Bank, as required by the Post Bank Act, taken to in quarter one to do research on the draft policies. We have done the desktop research on the policies. As we are talking now, the workshop that we're going to be having on the 7th of September with SAPO to workshop those policies so that we're able to finalize and come to the Parliament early next year for approval. With regard to the cancer performance monitoring system, quarter one, we have undertaken to develop the PMS and be tabled in Parliament. We have come to the PCC. PCC have adopted. Minister has seen signs that the PMS be introduced into Parliament through the Speaker. That has been done. Scheme for ownership support. This stops the DTT program. In quarter one, we have undertaken to do the SOS rollout plan, approve the cabinet, ministers developed, the cost subsidy system developed. And I must say, honourable members, here we have done, the framework was developed. As I'm speaking now, the framework has been approved by the executive. We are ready to go to cabinet with regard to this. We're just tying in a few things with the minister so that we're able to go to cabinet and get approval, necessary approval. On the STP manufacturing strategy, the strategy has been developed, has been workshopped. It is also ready to go to cabinet after the approval of the minister. We've also taken the decision to establish digital migration project office. The structure has been developed and approved. I think Chief Director HR, I think, will touch on that when she made the presentation on the migration structure. On the cost to communicate, we've undertaken interventions identified in quarter one, research on termination rates, BPO international research conducted. What we have done here, a report on the implementation of the 70 interventions to reduce the cost to communicate has been developed and presented to the cluster for noting in terms of how far we are doing. The research on the feasible intervention on the termination rates on the public pay phones was conducted. We are still to come to a conclusion on that matter. Research on the international best practice on business processing was conducted. This is in support of the DTI processes in terms of supporting the business processing, the BPO sector, as it were. And we are in the process as a department to ensure that the DOC becomes the authoritative voice on the ICT sector. We have commissioned Research ICT Africa to work with us in development of the ICT data warehouse so that we can be able to deal with the issue of the lack of data. On the national incentive scheme, in here there is no progress in terms of, as we have planned, that the research would have commenced in the main due to capacity constraints within the branch. But we have, as a corrective measure, put this as part of the development of the national ICT policy framework. There's going to be a chapter that talks to the support of the industry as part of that. On the Postal Service Amendment Bill, quarter one concept document developed. This has been done. I think we are in engagement with the CASA and SAPO in terms of the concept document so that we can begin to do the drafting of the amendments. Local digital content strategy, this has been done, developed, and as I'm speaking now, we have received approval from the executive in terms of going to the cluster and the cabinet. In terms of the additional achievements that we have undertaken as the branch, we've held two local government elections training workshops here in Cape Town and in Joburg in training the journalists that are supporting the community radio stations in support of the local government elections in May. And the pre-inspection of the road of broadcasting infrastructure to 15 community radio stations have been done and completed. A report has been presented to the department. The third issue is the signal piracy seminar. This is for the African region. Was hosted and a report was produced. 40 community stations benefited from signal distribution subsidy, and the workshop on development of DTT road plan was hosted and the plan was developed. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, members, I will deal with the issues relating to ICT infrastructure development. As the DG indicated earlier, one of the key policy considerations of the department Department is creating green ICT products and services, and in this regard, we are also looking at the disposal of ICT waste. We have completed consultation with various organizations dealing with ICT waste, including the Department of Environmental Affairs, who is looking to establish a national plan in respect of green issues. And we are in the process of developing a report regarding this. There's also been successful participation in the UN Commission of Science and Technology for Development with regard to the implementation of the World Summit on the Information Society outcomes. As I say, this is an international program looking at green ICTs, climate change, and the disposal of waste is one of those aspects. Within the eSkills Institute, there is also an initiative on green ICTs, and Dr. Besso will probably address this in his presentation a little bit later. On broadband issues, Honourable Chairperson, members, you will recall that a few weeks ago when the department presented the strategic alignment of the initiatives, I spoke in great detail on broadband, and I won't go into much detail here. Save to say that we have concluded a tender evaluation to appoint a service provider to determine the current broadband status in South Africa. There are numerous figures being bandied around as to the existing penetration of broadband, and we need an authoritative position as to what exactly the penetration is to facilitate the rollout. So that tender evaluation has been concluded, and the service provider will be appointed in due course. Centec has also developed a plan for the rollout of broadband services at the national level, and this plan has been analysed by the department, and there is ongoing coordination between the department and Centec. There are certain pilot projects which are underway in KwaZulu-Natal, which I reported on, and at the Sizonke District Municipality, the wireless broadband network was completed at the end of July. As was indicated, this report covers to June, hence it says it would be ready for launch at the end of July. That network has in fact been completed. And in the Msinga district, the wireless broadband network is being deployed and will be ready for launch by the end of October. In terms of the national broadband policy, it was envisaged at the time this policy was developed that there would probably be broadband legislation flowing as a result of the policy. In the interim, there's been a rethink of that, and it has been agreed to include the legislative recommendations into the Electronic Communications Act, and input has been made to the policy development branch.
Before you proceed, I welcome those who have come once we have started, the Chairperson of ICASA, the CEO, and the rest. Nondaba, I've seen that we have smuggled. The request which I'm doing is that you are giving a quarterly report. Can you focus on, say, this is what you say you'll do, and where are you, not the other stories. We are just interested. This is what you said you'll do. This is where you are. If you have not achieved, why? And then we proceed. We just need it in that way. It will help us too.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the legislative issues, the legislation on relating to broadband would be incorporated into the ECA amendment bill. This has been done, and the information has been given to the policy development branch for their inclusion. On provincial and municipal broadband guidelines, the target was that these guidelines should be finalized They have been complete and have been distributed to the provinces via the Broadband Intergovernmental Implementation Committee. On DTT infrastructure rollout, we are looking at the low power transmitter rollout by Sentech to extend the SABC television coverage, as well as DTT rollout by Sentech. We are monitoring those projects to ensure that the agreed timelines are achieved. Everything is on track as far as that goes. That both of those projects, both the establishment of low power stations and the targets as per the Sentech DTT rollout plan, are on track. With respect to set-top box conformance testing, it was required that a study into the requirements and capabilities at the national level be conducted, and that a tender for conformance test for conformance equipment be awarded, and the test facility accredited. The safety and EMC requirements and the local testing capabilities have been defined. A technical subgroup was established to address these issues. There has also been interaction with local and international groups on testing of boxes. The tender for the conformance testing equipment was being finalized as at the end of June. That, in fact, has now been finalized. The delay, in fact, was due to the expanded scope, where initially we were looking at only hardware conformance testing, but within the discussions it became obvious that software conformance would also need to be undertaken, and that delayed the process. However, that subsequent to June has been finalized. With respect to RICA directives, there were certain shortcomings in the original RICA directives which were drafted in terms of the Telecommunications Act. Now that the Electronic Communications Act is in force, there were certain shortcomings there, and the RICA directives needed to be amended. These amendments have been done to address the shortcomings identified by both law enforcement agencies and the ICT industry. Excuse me. Continuing, it was also necessary to develop private telecommunication networks and bands directives. The first draft of these directives were developed and discussed with government stakeholders, and again, in implementing RICA, a number of issues were identified that needed amendment, and there were stakeholders that were of the view that it may be necessary to review the RICA Act rather than developing PTN and bands directives, and this is work underway. With respect to the Electronic Communication and Transactions Act provisions regarding cryptography and the cyber inspectorate, it was seven companies that renewed their accreditation as authentication service providers, and three new applications were registered. All of these were processed in terms of the ECT, so the targets there were met. There was also a target to review the ECT Act with a specific focus on cybersecurity, and to issue an issues paper on the proposed amendments. The initial draft of that issues paper has been finalised and was submitted to internal structures. The next issue was a policy on the use of satellites for communication purposes. The role of satellite in communication in South Africa has not been defined, and the target was to have a draft policy gazetted for public consultation. Due to the lack of governance structures within the department at the beginning, this could not be achieved, the gazetting for public public consultation could not be achieved. However, the draft policy has been developed and the internal approval will be expedited on this matter. On cybersecurity, the cybersecurity policy was due to be endorsed by the JCPS cluster and the implementation plan developed. This, in fact, did happen. Further amendments have been incorporated for consideration by Cabinet. On national radio frequency spectrum, it is intended that a tender to appoint a service provider to conduct the audit would be awarded. That has been finalized, and the tender will be awarded in due case. In respect of ISA, we are looking to recapacitate ISA, focusing on software development. A business plan has been developed on the recapacitation of ISA and will be addressed further in the structure later on. IT also is within the infrastructure development branch, and a target for the first quarter was disaster recovery solution implemented and open source software appointed. Unfortunately, not much has happened as regards the disaster recovery policies, and governance policies were developed. The solution has not yet been developed. And finally, Honourable Chairperson, on the ITU World Radio Communication Conference, which is taking place in next year, the target was to develop preliminary common positions as well as SADC draft common position paper, and these have in fact been done, and sub-regional positions for that conference have been developed. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, members.
Thank you. The next one, I try to do it as we request. I can see that it's very difficult, but you can do it in that manner.
I will try. Honourable Chairperson and members, I'm making a presentation for the Presidential National Commission Quarter 1 report. Firstly, the ICT Rural Development Strategy has been developed, but however, we're updating the strategy pending the ESCO inputs. The health content policy framework is also being developed and presented to ESCO, and we are now in the process of doing a multi-stakeholder consultation. Also look at the e-government repository portal, where we have data on all government systems that are in place, working together with DPSA, GTOC, and SALGA. We are also going to be in the process of developing the repository. Next slide, on the illiteracy training for 110 youth program. Here we're looking at youth in the areas of illiteracy. We're working together with Department of Correctional Services, where we're training 400 youth offenders, and a service provider has been appointed to do that. And in other areas where we are supposed to do training on NDR, we're working with NEMISA on that, and also with the University of Johannesburg, where 400 young people attended the workshop where they were trained on issues of enterpriseship. On the issue of e-cooperatives, we have developed a youth computer refurbishment program and working closely with the Eastern Cape province to establish a refurbishment center there. Also on the issue of the e-commerce platform, it is currently being developed, and now we're in the process of training SMMEs to start using the platform. I'll also jump and then go to the next slide. We'll be talking about the Country Information Society readiness. The e-barometer report has been developed and it was launched. We're going to further develop and make sure that you publish the report every second year. The ICT research framework is also being developed, and it's in a draft form. We're further going to do a consultation on this one. A digital content program for military veterans. Members will recall that we had started training 30 in the last financial year, and now we are in the process of trying to train more, and these ones that we have been trained are being deployed in other areas where they are collecting content. On the centers of excellence, we have a model to develop centers of excellence really for research and capacity building. And we have a relationship also with the University of Pretoria where we're doing an African network information ethics center where we're assisting African countries on issues of ethics and information society. Also developed a center of excellence with the University of Johannesburg where we are looking at capacitating young people and women and also with people with disabilities. On the issue of foresight and planning, I think as a department we said that we need to clap together the uptake and research strategy, the Vision 2020, so that we come up with a document that talks to all these issues. And then the National Assets Council, I think this is an institutional mechanism where we're coordinating with these programs. The terms of reference for the ISET Council has been developed, and then a multi-stakeholder forum was also held in March, and we are planning that we're going to have an ISET IGRF forum where we institutionalizing the issues of information society. Lastly, Chairperson, I'm going to talk to the National Digital Repository, where we're going to work with NEMISA closely so that we make sure that we train young people in the collection of content for heritage and culture. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Chairperson and members, next is a brief report on the Iskus Institute. We have started work on application factories, and because this is a new concept in the higher education environment, we have partnered with the United Nations Development Programme in order to make sure that we learn from international best practice. We have done a high-level conceptual document, and we have started discussions with three of our knowledge production hubs, that is in the Eastern Cape, Gauteng Province, and the Western Cape, to establish the three applications factories in those provinces linked to the hubs. Then the green ICTs and creative industry programs, as you know, these are new focus areas in South Africa, and we've done preliminary work in this regard, and especially the South Africa, the creative industry, has the potential to provide many new jobs within the economy. And we've also decided that because of its interdisciplinary nature, that we have a collective program where we have the PNC and also the policy development branch involved. Then very important at this point in time for the Iskus Institute is to develop pilot training programs, develop pilot curricula, and then to test those in this financial year and going forward towards the first intake of students in 2013. We've done forced training in two provinces, the Northern Cape and the Northwest. We're working with the Umsunduzi municipality in Durban in collaboration with our knowledge production hub there on e-governance, e-skills for government. We developed a multimedia course for FET colleges in collaboration with the Higher Education and Training Department, and those are currently piloted in a number of FET colleges, as indicated there. We're also busy and started with environmental scans, in other words, to get a sense of the labor market demands in the five provinces indicated there in order to respond with training initiatives that will make sense for job creation in those provinces. Then we have developed a first e-skills training training course for e-center managers and also 10 community centers in the Northern Cape and the Western Cape. We're working with Cisco Systems on establishing a proof of concept for a virtual training environment within South Africa to link the different knowledge production hubs in the 9 provinces. We have established the National Research Network for e-skills. That is, at this point in time, a virtual environment for e-skills research. We started work on evaluation and monitoring, a framework for that. And I think a very important one is that we have commenced and is finalizing a postgraduate diploma for decision makers in e-skills that will be piloted the next academic year. Then, of course, it is important that we start with an awareness campaign. I think we have clearly impacted on the national discourse around e-skills at this point in time. So we have developed a terms of reference to have a more systematic process as far as awareness creation is concerned. And lastly, Honourable Chairperson, is that we is hard at work since the first quarter on ICT Careers Expo that will try to create further awareness but also to involve young people in understanding what careers are available in the ICT domain in South Africa. Thank you.
Dr. Vessel, I assume that on page 12 under your comprehensive report on green ICTs, we have not talked to that into detail. You say no substantial progress made due to HR capacity constraints. Those are the issues I'm talking about. If you say that, then what?
Yes, yes.
But I know that you are still coming to question. I'm just raising that so that the following people who are going to speak, they must clarify us, this is the thing, this is what happened, or it didn't happen, why. But if you just leave us hanging, it becomes difficult. You'll end up having 200 questions on something which you can clarify as we are making the presentation so that we don't spend much time. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will be presenting international relations. All members greet you, the Minister of Communications and members of the sector and industry and the SOEs. We'll focus on issues that relate to training and development opportunities. But having said so, I would just want to underscore that we have developed the evidence-based international relations and trade discussion document from which we gather our work, and also the international relations strategy on ICTs in line with DECO's international relations to which we've contributed. We have developed a bilateral cooperation for countries that we've identified and conducted some workshops on implementation of 10 business proposals by Cuba, and a draft MOU has been developed also with Mexico. And the foreign countries have been identified, which is France, USA, and Germany, and we're due to submit that to top management. An MOU has been prepared that will be shared with our Mexican counterpart. This emerged from our participation in the Plenipot and the ITU. We used the opportunity to look at what the Mexicans are doing and what we can do with the Mexicans on manufacturing and industry. And these are not only limited to those opportunities that we have created with China. The Korean MOU has actually been completed. It was influential in developing the E-Skills Institute and partly the cost to communicate benchmarking. On SADC ICT structures further strengthened, a positive paper has been developed on SADC program of action. And we have been actively participating in SADC in various forms, both in the technical and ministerial meeting. A positive paper informed by the national preparatory meeting, inclusive of all the SOEs, was developed in preparation of the SADC ministers responsible on ICTs and communication and postal and digital health in Botswana. We also participated in the SADC regional infrastructure meeting and gave inputs to the ICT infrastructure program. We actively participated also in the ICT ministerial meeting. The meeting attempted 10 positions, out of which DOC was, or the South Africa was appointed to to run the problem management office on SADC decisions. On Africa Multilateral Organization Further Strengthened, we continue. We have a SAPOS Integra developed and the implementation of the Oliver Tambo Declaration and the key outcome of the conference in support of the national and regional developmental development implemented. DOC has developed, in particular, a position paper of AU Ministers of Communication and Information and Technology, which is CIT, with a primary focus on Oliver Declaration. The proposed standards for international spectrum pricing and an action plan for interconnection study developed with key stakeholders. In South Africa, we, in jointly with ICASA, hosted the spectrum management workshop and to consider issues of spectrum farming, harmonization, and spectrum migration and regionalization and reallocation of digital dividend. In South Africa as well, we chaired and participated in SADC technical meeting, which consolidated position papers, as this was referred to by infrastructure and WRC-12. The technical meeting addressed issues of spectrum farming, as I said earlier on. On implementation of NEPAD ICT program monitored and assessed, the DOR for the performance tool assessment tool for NEPAD ICT program, no substantial progress has been made here due to HR capacity constraints, and we are working on it. Also, we are trying to look at the country position in terms of NEPAD programs until the president re-emphasized that we need to continue with it. On bilateral relations with priority countries further strengthened, we have done a program of cooperation with Egypt, which was done successful, but we were the last country to sign with them, but we could not implement due to the things that are happening there. On Algeria, and Angola proposed and negotiated draft MOUs have been developed with Ghana, Mozambique, and Tunisia. The program of cooperation with Egypt, as I said, in Algeria has been developed, and we have actually signed an MOU with Egypt, so we are just waiting to effect it after they stabilize. A program of cooperation for projects for improvement has been developed for the engagement with Angola, and that is underway. I think we'll be completing it. An MOU on ICT with Mozambique has been done as well. We've done some agreement as well on spectrum collaboration. We've signed an MOU, as you know, just 2 days ago with Ghana on ICTs with the president of Ghana. A number of others will be looked at. And we also have the Information Society and IPSA programs. We have been engaging on this one, on IPSA free open source software and working group engaged on the very same processes. Although there have been a number of challenges when we're dealing with the IPSA program, because at times you move ahead with India, Brazil left behind and all this. So the challenge in particular was that our programs with IPSA and in India and Brazil, we have bilateral agreements where we're moving, but on the trilateral, it depends on a number of factors of the availability of the one other country. On the South-South bilateral relations promoted, also there's not been a substantial project that has been done yet, except the signing of the agreement with Cuba, but the implementation program has been lagging behind. On the North-South relations promoted, areas of cooperation identified, we've developed an ODA strategy. It's a very new matter for South Africa, especially on ICTs. We've never had a donor coordination program on ICTs. So we are still awaiting then the process of the new structure, which will appoint someone else who's going to solely focus on raising donor funding on ICTs for South Africa. On the green issues, discussion document on trade investment has been developed in the database. It's also another new area. We've never traded seriously on ICT and trade, so we are also trying to build capacity in this area. But we are working with companies trying to bring the sector in so that we know where they want to invest and how they want to invest. We're still engaging the sector on it. On identification and position of candidates for elections and multilateral organizations, that is also new. South Africa, we participated in the ITU, UPU, and the rest, but we've never positioned South Africans in those structures. For the first time, then, we've developed a draft paper, document policy on that, and we are working with DECO to try and position South Africans abroad and moving the office from Paris back to Geneva and creating more structures in terms of the current ministry's approach to our engagement. On the strategic multilateral partnership implemented with EU. We have had a meeting with the EU, and we've discussed a number of proposals. We agreed on the principle of content and the problem of action on the matter. We have been conducting engagement with our counterpart on the GCC and participated in the UN Commission for Science and Technology. Participation in the OECD strengthened. We have the demand has requested the OECD actually to provide a draft work program as to establish opportunities for South Africa. That is part of our engagement with the EU and what that we've been doing. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, I will take you through the Governance Administration branch, which is largely a support services branch. However, it includes IGR, which is the link between the DOC and our provincial and local government. With regards to IGR, the IGR engagement framework was implemented, and in so doing, the department conducted engagements with various provinces in workshopping this framework and establishing structures to ensure its implementation. In order to get the projects of SOA down to the provinces and municipalities, SOA forum meetings were held with USASA, Centec, SACO, and SABC, and work has also commenced with regards to developing ICT profiles for Northwestern and Eastern Cape. There were various projects that impacted directly in the provinces that were facilitated by IGR, like the cyber labs, access centers, low-power transmitters, and also a huge role was played in the RECA initiative. Moving on to HR, as well as the other support functions, there's various support-related milestones, but just to touch on the key ones, the DPSA concurrence was obtained on the proposed structure, and there's also a draft migration plan has been developed to move people to move staff members towards the new structure. However, a detailed presentation on this will follow. HR administration and HR information systems were fully functional and the functions were fully affected. And also with regards to performance management, individual performance management, the 10-11 financial year performance assessments were concluded and the 11-12 performance agreements were also concluded. The 11-12 workplace skills plan was also developed, and furthermore, the EE consultative forum is currently being reviewed. In terms of strategic planning and monitoring, just to touch on some of its key milestones, the year-end, the 10-11, the last financial year-end organizational performance report was developed, and that informed the draft 10-11 annual report, which was also timely submitted to the AG. And the 11-12 business plans were finalized, which unpacks the year one of the current strategic plan, so it's against which we are reporting today. Draft project plans for flagships were finalized, as well as the draft quarter one performance report was developed, which informs the presentation today as well. In terms of communication and marketing, the communication strategy as well as the communication plans and media relation plans were developed for various initiatives, as well as various publications were developed, one of which being the 11-14 strategic plan, and the commencement has begun with the revamp of the DOC website already. Thanks.
Honourable Chair, Minister, Honourable Members, on the finance and ICT enterprise development, there are three projects. The first project, export readiness, we have started a process of appointing a service provider to assist us in delivering on this project. It's on track. The action plan to benefit SMMEs in the BDM value chain has also been developed. Essentially, what this action plan seeks to achieve, it basically seeks to outline a process that will be followed in making sure that SMMEs also benefit in the manufacturing of set-top boxes. The third project, which is the ICT hubs rollout in the provinces, we have developed a business plan. It's still in the draft format. The intention is to roll out the hubs in the two provinces, Free State as well as Limpopo. Discussions with these two provinces have started. On the financial management within the department, we've reviewed a couple of policies. Those include asset, entertainment, catering, as well as debt management policies. Annual financial statements were compiled, and I must say, Honourable Chairperson, that for the financial year 10-11, the department received an unqualified audit. During the reporting period, we've held 8 meetings of the departmental bid adjudication committee. SMEs are paid on time. 91% of the payments were done within 30 days. On the SOE oversight, development of budgets for state-owned entities was facilitated. 2012 MTF meetings were held with National Treasury. quarterly reports were also analyzed, terms of reference for the reviews of corporate governance systems, policies and procedures, and reviews of articles of association for the SOEs are also in the process of being developed or being finalized. The implementation of the articles of associations are continuously monitored in consultation or in liaison with company secretaries. Unaudited financial statements of entities were also submitted to the AG and National Treasury. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The next two slides, they deal with the gender disability and youth chief directorate. On the first issue on the children and ICT strategy, an environmental scan report on children and ICT was developed, and there was also consultation with the child protection online, especially during the Child Online Protection Week. With regard to the youth and ICT strategy, this one has been approved by both top management and EXCO. It's awaiting the launching. And the next slide, with regard to the disability and ICT strategy, this one was run parallel with the youth and ICT. It has also been finalized and approved. It's awaiting the launching. The next strategy is the gender and ICT. Similar to the strategy on children and ICT strategy, we have a draft gender and ICT framework that will form the basis for the strategy development process, and it has been finalized. An audit has also been finalized on the gender. And with regard to the MOMINET project, a draft MOU on Women's Net has been developed. The next issue, which is also reporting, directorate, which is also reporting to the DG's office, is risk management. A draft risk management strategy has been developed and approved. The process of conducting risk assessment and the development of a risk register has also been commenced. Beyond the month of June, the risk management directorate has identified the top 10 risks that as a department we are facing. What is then following is risk management and mitigation strategy so that we can ensure that we are able to deliver on our key strategic objectives. The next issue is the corporate governance and compliance strategy. This one is done by internal audit. No progress has been achieved. I think in the main, it's the lack of capacity in the internal audit. It's an area that we are addressing in this quarter to see how we can address this corporate governance and compliance strategy. But we believe that we'll be able to achieve this target in this current quarter, that is quarter two. Honourable Chairperson, we thought that we should integrate the presentation and give a sense of where we are with regard to the update on the flagship project that the Minister spoke about last year in November 2010. On the DTT process, the BDM policy has been gazetted for public comments. The process of analysing the DTT standard, that is for the set-top box, is near completion with the SABS. On the post bank, the President has signed a commencement of the Act from July 2011. The process is underway for the Nominations Committee, and it is anticipated that the post bank board will be in place by November 2011. On the rural development, I think Angie spoke about this one earlier on, that there is a strategy on the table that has been approved. I think what is critical is now the implementation, and there's a draft implementation plan that has been developed. With regard to the job creation, there's a discussion document that we are consulting on, but one key area that we need to note, which is an achievement, is the Minister has hosted several roundtable discussions with the industry. Stemming from such meetings, there are six working groups were formed with the focus on the following key areas: policy and regulation, investment, manufacturing, local digital content, human capital and digitized government. And also to note that a contract was also signed with the top 30 industry companies. On the e-skills, I will not elaborate on that. I think Dr. Voss spoke to this slide elaborately. The next issue also is on broadband without really wasting much time. It's the main issue here is the data analysis and the broadband mapping. But I think what is critical from our side is the broadband implementation plan, so that we can start with the implementation of broadband. Honourable Chairperson and members, even though when the presentation was done, there were a number of areas where we believed that there were no progress, but maybe they were not articulated strongly in terms of what is going to happen. The first issue is the uptake and usage strategy, which was not achieved. What we have put in is a cross-cutting team in the department to review an existing documents so that we can come up with the strategy. We believe that in this current quarter, even though we will not have an approved strategy, but we have a draft strategy that we can start with the consultation on. And with regard to the South African East Coast Council, even though this one was not approved, one of the key challenges I think that we also had was the term of the chairperson had expired, but the process is also underway where we are appointing a new chairperson for the South African East Coast, and also facilitating a meeting of the South African East Coast Council, which will in the main be the corrective measures. And with regard to the International Advisory Council of Expert and Constituent to Advise on ICT, a proposal has been developed on the constitution. I think what we need to do in the main is to agree on the approach on how we are going to address the International Advisory Panel of Expert. On the implementation of the NEPAD and ICT program, here we've initiated a monitoring of the NEPAD ICT program that includes the program performance and financial cost-benefit analysis. I think in the main, this project is one of the areas where it's about collaborating with external service provider to ensure that we deliver on. This next target Norman spoke about is the National Incentive Scheme document for domestic industry development. This is one of the key areas where we felt that as a department within the policy branch, we do not have the capacity to undertake this activity. The terms of reference have been developed for the appointment of service provider. The process is underway with the Departmental Bid Adjudication Committee for an appointment of a service provider. On the comprehensive green economy, the one that Dr. Veso spoke about, which was an activity of the eSkills, we have moved this target to the ICT infrastructure branch. A cross-functional project team has been established in the main to see how we can address this issue, but also integrate the green economy with the project of ICTs and waste, where a draft report must be developed and submitted in August. And on the corporate governance and compliance, this is deals with the internal audit, where it was not achieved. A process has started with an internal audit team to develop a strategy. We'll be able to catch up on this target by the second quarter. On the IPSA, Gift spoke a little bit about the IPSA program. I think in the main here is to establish institutional mechanisms in order to deal with this issue. There would be a meeting, I think either it's in October, where some of the activities with the different countries in the IPSA will be dealt with. On the South-South bilateral relations, an institutional mechanism is also to be established to deal with the South-South and North project. I think in the main, when one looks at all these key projects that are in the international branch, the interventions was about the establishment of a project management office in the international branch, so that some of these key targets that as a country is committed against, that the international branch does the project management, but ensures that the different subject expert matter that are in the branch or other branches or in the sector are able to support international in some of these key activities. The next issue, Honourable Chairperson, that we would like the members to note is that the entire performance report is based on the current structure, not on the newly approved structure that Ms. Sekwele will be presenting shortly. The approved structure was submitted will be submitted to National Treasury by the 31st of August for additional funding, because there is an increase in the number of positions that have been proposed. bit of national expenditure within the budget, and the implementation of the new structure will be effective from 1st of April 2012. The department, I think as reported by Farad earlier on, will follow a structured migration process that will guide the migration of employees into the, this new structure. A presentation would be done in the next few minutes by Ms. Sikwela. Over and above that, Chairperson, we thought that we should brief the members on the repositioning of the PNC into what we call the ISAC branch. In the proposed structure, the PNC has been renamed as a branch, but we felt that by renaming it without refocusing the mandate, we would run the risk of not being able to achieve some of the key priorities that we should achieve. The one critical area that we believe is a weakness of the branch, of the department, is on the research, where we believe that the ISAC branch should focus on the foresight, near-sight, and trend analysis. This, in a sense, including the measurement, would assist us as a department to get to a point where we now start doing evidence-based policy making, which is some of the weaknesses that we are trying to address. Over and above the research and measurement, the ISAC branch will also be responsible for the monitoring and evaluation that is on the policy targets, policy implementation, and the policy impact. One key area that has been mentioned that we have not also addressed as a department in the last few years is on the e-strategy, which we believe that it's a cross-cutting framework that this branch needs to undertake going forward. Over and above the e-strategy, what is also very critical that we mentioned earlier on is the uptake and usage. In the main, that is the e-adoption, that ICT uptake and usage, the e-application rollout for efficient service delivery. The next presentation is on the budget versus expenditure, which Mr. Vilakas will take us through.
Thank you, Chair. The first slide on the budget deals with the breakdown of the allocation to the department, that's current payments of 585 transfers and subsidies, machinery and equipment, making the entire allocation of the department 1.8 billion. And the next column dealing with the expenditure in terms of the rent figures or the rent amounts, as well as percentages and the variances. I think the next slides give a better picture in terms of how the money has been allocated and utilized. If you look at the current slide, it deals with the breakdown per program, indicating the allocation, the annual allocation per branch, the projections for the first quarter, the expenditure against the projections for the first quarter, and of course then the next column dealing with the percentage expenditure, the variance in rent, as well as the reasons for the deviations. As members can actually see on the last column, you notice that where there has been an excess, there are reasons provided why we exceeded the budget, and where there has been under expenditure. We've also indicated, I think, essentially, the under expenditure really talks to projects that are a bit delayed, and of course, in some areas, there are some expenditure amounts that are projected to be spent later in the year. But essentially, the last column gives a fair picture in terms of what is currently transpiring in this department. Moving on to the transfers, the similar approach has been used, wherein we state the allocation per entity annually, the projections for the first quarter, that is April to June, the expenditure for that quarter, and the variance, as well as the reasons. Now, if you look at the picture presented for the entities, you notice that most of the entities are in line with their drawdown schedules. Where there are challenges, I think there isn't really much of the challenges in terms of transferring funds to the entities. And where money has not been transferred,
you notice that there are some of these funds are projected to be effected or transferred later in the year. So in as far as transfers are concerned, we're more or less covered. I think where the concern is on the current payments where the programs within the department are housed. I think then the next one, the next slide just basically gives a graphic presentation of the budget versus expenditure. Thank you, Shamu.
Honourable members, in concluding the presentation, what we thought we should do is just give an overall summary of some of the challenges that we felt contributed to areas where there was no progress. But I think in the main was the prolonged internal approvals due to the lack of a fully functional governance structure in the first 2 months of the reporting period. But also coupled to that is the over-ambitious planning conducted on the assumptions of vacancies being filled. Thirdly is the delays due to the prolonged engagement with external stakeholders on certain projects. In the main is some of the projects where you're dependent on external stakeholders. I think what is critical is the mitigation strategies that we need to put in place so that there are clear escalation and mechanisms to address that. The corrective measures that we managed to successfully put in place is various governance structures have been approved and established in a fully functional, which has substantially improved the turnaround times for the decision-making approval. On the performance report, especially the targets that are delayed where there is no progress, what we are doing with Farad as the Chief Director for Strategic Monitoring and Implementation is to, when we finalize the agenda of the, whether it's the EXCO or top management, is to ensure that the areas that we prioritize in our own management meetings where there are delays or no progress. Honorable Chairperson, you recall that the last time when we were here resubmitting the strategic plan, we made a commitment that the department will establish a quarterly performance assessment board. It was established and the first meeting was on the 15th of July, which focused on the interrogation of the organizational performance and implementing immediate actions to address the targets that are either delayed or where there's no progress. The second meeting, I think, is scheduled in mid-October, is it the 18th of October, 2011. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We would then quickly move on to the next presentation, which is the organizational structure by Mr. Bailey.
You have exceeded your time now by 25 minutes. You can present the organizational structure.
I'm saying we have the copies of the structure. I'm not sure if the president is going to tell us, okay, this is whatever is listed here. On the director general, we have one person, as you see there, based on the diagram shown. Then on ICT, we have these people. If that's what they're going to do, this is what we have. Then if we have questions on the structure, we are going to raise them, unless they're going to put politics into what we have here.
Are you going to put politics or inflation?
No. May I humbly request that we deal with slide number 2 and this last slide, just on the progress and the way forward. If we can be allowed to just to present those 2 slides.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Minister, and members. The progress on institutional review and realignment. The background here, the focus of the institutional review and realignment was primarily on the top level DOC structure. So the proposed DOC organizational structure was consulted with the DPSA on the days flighted there, respectively, and the Minister for the Department of Communications has in principle approved the proposed organizational structure
on the 7th June 2011, and the proposed organizational structure was concurred with by the Minister of Public Service and Administration on 8 August 2011. So we are currently finalizing the whole structure of the DOC for minister's signature. And we are also currently developing job profiles for all newly created and redesigned service senior management services positions before they are subjected to job evaluation. So we can also report that the 8 positions of Deputy Director General have been subjected to job evaluation in conjunction with the DPSA. On the way forward, we are currently putting together a migration process that will guide the department with regards to the migration of the employees to the new structure. So the process involves the mentioned job profiling of all positions on the DOC structure, SMS and non-SMS, job evaluation, classifications of posts, the change management processes, and the migration rollout. We have already put together a submission for National Treasury for reconfiguration of the program structures, as we currently having 6 branches and we have added with 2. So the programs will have to be reconfigured, and as well as additional funding. We will also conduct a comprehensive skills audit in a process immediately. And we currently have staff in excess that will be absorbed into the new structure. The staff that are in excess are classified according to in 3 categories. We have ESA that is on the current structure, and the ESA wasn't catered for in the current structure during the previous restructuring. We have e-skills. We also have 10 employees who are currently out of the box. And so the ESA has been catered for in the newly approved structure. The e-skills, a branch has been created, and the 10 employees that are currently out of the box, they will be absorbed to the structure immediately. We have already put together a submission for minister's signature to create additional positions to absorb those people, because their salaries are currently budgeted for in the current personnel budget. Critical positions going forward that are funded will be identified and prioritized immediately, and a decision will be made that they are advertised. So the critical positions will be filled in phases, starting with the first level, which is the DDGs, and then the chief director positions and directors. All other positions will be filled, and a priority list will be determined going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the presentation from DOC, from first to last. Must remember that we've got one last presentation, but now we are dealing with this one which has been presented. Questions? Ndaben? Honorable Van der Berg? Nondaba? You can start, Honorable Ndaben.
Thank you, Shepherdson. Thanks, DOC, for the presentation. Chairperson, if the colleagues from DOC still recall when they came and presented their strategic planning document, we had to send them away. Some of the reasons that we sent them away was because we identified that when it comes to your KPIs, you are so vague and your plan was not smart. We explained that to yourself. Today you come here to present a progress report based on what we have agreed on that you are going to do on your quarterly plan when we are presenting your strategic planning document. I think, Chairperson, we all know that when we are presenting a performance-based report, the critical thing there are the KPIs or your performance objectives, and then the level that you have delivered as planned, or can you have failed to deliver as planned. I appreciate the narrative report and all that you have put there, but honestly, if we are genuine, it doesn't assist us much as members of parliament in tracking progress of what you have been doing and what you committed to do. Chairperson, through you, I would then ask, next time DOC comes to us, please, the template that you presented on your strategic plan, I see all the fancy things, but what is critical to us, the crux of your strategic plan document, is that template that gives us, these are the measurable objectives, this is what you are going to achieve by this time. Please help us do our job effectively. This presentation that you have put here does not give that. I see at the end of the presentation, DG tries to give us a good, okay, this is what, but this is why we haven't done. But it doesn't tell us, this quarter, you planned to build 15 hubs, and you have not managed to do that, or you've done over than that. It doesn't give us that. And the purpose of this meeting is for us to say, well, the department is on track on what we have promised to our people and committed to when we are adopting the strategic plan document. The same thing that goes to the budget. You have spent 18% based on what you have budgeted for. You give the reason for you not failing not to achieve your target. But it doesn't tell us, this 18% that you have spent, does it talk to the objectives or the indicators that we are supposed to deliver on? Or you have just spent in whatever that you felt like that you must spend on. We said when you presented the plans earlier on, this year or this term, we're planning to do things differently. We have to make it a point that the mandate that you have is delivered according to the agreement. If you promise to make it a point that each and every school out there is connected, and then you say first quarter 55, we must see that, and that money that you have got, you have spent, must talk to that. Chairperson, I will then, I didn't want to engage more, but I just wanted to talk on the principle. But first to talk on the presentation that has been made lastly. On, if you can go to your slide 2 of the progress on institutional review and realignment. No, I don't want that. I want the one that was, yeah. Chairperson, the DOC, when they presented, we requested to see a structure that is going to deliver this plan. You said you agree, the plan looks very, very nice and interesting. But who is going to deliver on this thing that you are committing to, that you must give money for? And then you went because your structure was not finalized. Today you are seated here telling us that some of the projects are delayed because we have human resources problems, which you never mentioned that day. We knew, Uguti, there are vacant posts that you are supposed to fill. And we asked, how long is it going to take you to fill those vacant posts? Because ours is not about coming here and saying, out of the 350, we have delivered 35, or we have filled 35 vacant posts. Ours is to ensure that the plan is being implemented. That's our only concern. Then if you give us an ambitious plan, as you call it, fortunately all of you were there. Nobody's new from yourself. All of you were part of the development of the strategic development plan that was presented to Parliament. But none of you was able to pick up. If these posts are not filled, this is going to hinder the progress that we need to make. Therefore, you develop a risk management plan that seeks to address that. You knew you have 25 employees in your unit, but you gave us a target. Just another one, Chairperson, my acting one. On your skills audit that is to be conducted, I don't understand, I need to be schooled here. How do you come up with a structure if you have not done that? My understanding is that structure follows function. You first identify what is it that we have and what is it that we need to have to deliver on what we want to deliver on. Then you say this is the structure that is going to assist us implement what we want or achieve what we want to achieve. Here you are presenting that you are still going to do a skills audit. I understand probably so that you place others, but why wasn't your structure informed by that? So that you make it a point, even if needs be, like you take other people out of the job, they understand, because you said to them, you said this is our mission, and for our mission to be achieved, this is the kind of structure that we need, so that everybody understands. Because each and every person in your department, be it a cleaner or a general manager or a DG, one must understand why he or she is employed. How do I contribute to implementing that mission that we have envisioned? If we go to DOC, we must be able to go to a cleaner and ask her, why are you cleaning these offices? And she must give us, or he must give us, a response that talks to the vision. Because for us, it's about implementing that vision that we have. Chairperson, let me... And then why don't you keep them dirty? Chairperson, you can give other members an opportunity. I'll come back later.
Thank you, Honorable Ndabeni. The next speaker will be Honorable Vanderbilt. I can't see. Vanderbilt.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to try to give my question as easy as possible. The DOC has got a lot of things to do. He's sort of the program director of a lot of things the SOEs have to do in the coming year. Just mention a couple of things. The DTT program. And rolling out the DTT, all the entities must come to the party. ICASA has to do a lot of things. Centec, the ACBC, and you can count them, and they have to reach certain time frames to reach that magical goal at the end of 2013, if I am correct. So all I want to know is, where are we now? Are all the SOEs on track? Has ICASA done their job, their regulatory job, Centec, to roll out everything? And then there's the broadband and the unbundling of the last loop. So there's a lot of things that has to happen in the coming months and year. If the DOC can just give me an answer, Mr. Kese, where are we now? Are we reaching the goals? In the previous meeting, I asked for a type of war room, a room that you can enter, and then you can see, okay, here we are. We need a lot of work from Centec to be done, or ICASA, and if you look at the wall or whatever, you can see where are we now. And I've got a problem, and I'm not so sure if the DOC knows where they are at this moment, and what is the next step to be done. Because all these things are so important for South Africa. We can't go further with all the goals of the president and the government to educate and whatever, if we do not reach all these goals in the Department of Communications, and therefore I've said it before, the importance of this department must be on a higher level, because this is a real leading department. And I think if the president and the executive is not going to put more emphasis on this department, we are not going to reach our goals. And it's so, so important for this department to succeed. We heard long time ago it was a sinking ship, and I hope it seems to be things are going better, Mr. Keze, as it was a couple of months ago. There's another thing, I hope I made myself clear with this very important issue. I think on a weekly basis, we must I must be welcome to go into the room in the DOC and say, okay, here we are. Then I know exactly what is going on. And everyone is knowing what is exactly going on. Other small things, I just want to find it here, please, Chairperson. For instance, in this document, the first quarter organizational performance and everything, you know, you are stating things on that bullet number four. A report on the implementation of 7 key interventions to reduce the cost the communication has been developed and presented to cluster. You just read it like this, I haven't got the information. And I would be glad if we can receive a full text. What is that 7 interventions? And so there's a lot of extra examples I can take out of these documents. And for me and the rest of the honorable members to understand exactly what is going on. You can't feed me on this. And if people ask me questions about this, I can't answer it because I haven't got... If you give me a stack of papers like this, I have to read through it to fully understand exactly what is going on, where we are, then we all will understand where we are, where we're going, what is the next step, what is the most important things, issues that we have to concentrate at this moment. Thank you, Chairperson. I hope I made myself clear in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Honorable Senator. I think you've made yourself clear. I can hear Honorable Zondi wants to come in. The next person is Honorable Zondi.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to further add on what Honorable van der Berg did say. One of the problems that we do have is that we are flooded with too much technical information presented in a non-user-friendly form, in a Telegram style. It's very difficult to decipher what it actually means. You get lost before you come to the end of the document. If in future you could take us step by step so that we could actually assist the department and form an effective link between the constituencies down there, the country down there, and what the department is aiming to do. But coming back to my questions, you shoot me down, Chairperson, if I'm off the tangent. I just want to ask 3 broad questions. The first chunk of global questions that I want to ask, how does what was presented here this morning contribute towards making the South African economy, of which the DOC plays a critical part, more competitive with similar-sized economies in our country? Because I think that is what we are trying to contribute to. But how, it doesn't come out quite clearly, how, after all these things, the myriad of all the things that have been presented, how does it improve our standing as an economy, our industrial policy? What impact does it have? Secondly, how does this strategic plan, beyond all the intricate details, talk to the overall objectives announced by the President and followed up by the Minister of Finance, that of emphasizing on job creation, especially for the untapped energies of the unemployed youth and the marginalized women of our country? Then there was a presentation on various activities that are done in terms of international interactions and so on, various MOUs. So in simpler language, what are we aiming to achieve, for example, with all the MOUs we are signing with countries such as Angola, Mozambique, Ghana, Egypt, etc.? What is it that an ordinary person in the street can come to understand that by doing all these activities, this is what we are moving our country to achieve immediately. Where are we going to see the immediate improvement? And finally and lastly, the migration to the new structure. At what point shall we have a stable, functioning organizational structure and then say, now that we have positioned the DOC in this particular area, we have a stable, functioning structure that is going to be able to carry this department, say, for the next 5 or 10 years. Tell us, for example, if there are factors that militate against the stability in your structure so that we can understand. There is migration. Some staff members have been rendered redundant. We are told they are going to be absorbed during the process of migration into the new structure. Are you not going to come back 2 years down the line with another new structure? When are we going to have stability? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Tabe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I don't know, Chair, but not from my understanding, I'm very much worried. Certainly the point raised by Honorable Ndabeni and issues raised by the two, Nelisat comrades, the two members, Ndaba and Comrade Niki and Comrade Ndaba. Because I share, I really share the same sentiments with us. Because for us to be able to do proper oversight to DOC, we need a detailed report on top of what we present here. And you can see like that, I don't know what happened for the 26th of August. Because as long as this report is narrative as it is, not detailed, we'll be missing some of the information. Not only because of time management, but you cannot be sitting here looking for all this clarification, some of which, if we had that detailed report, would have been more clarified rather than asking some of these questions here. Number two, I'm more worried in terms of the understanding of the department, and I'm not yet convinced out of your presentation why you have underspent. At the end, you also say you have requested more funding from the treasury, but you're not able to spend for this quarter at least a particular percentage. And on that, in regard to your report on finances, in terms of the expenditure and the variances, we have put the report there in terms of rents. But in terms of the expenditure, it's in percentage per branches. Why is it not per rent? Is it in percentages? And the other worry that I have is that in terms of this report, Honorable Chair, almost everything, if not all, is either something is in progress or in process, something is underway, something is waiting approval of the minister, something is waiting the approval of the executive. You know, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Maybe if we had that report, we would have been more clarified. I'm worried because if you receive the report with process, still awaiting, so many things are still awaiting approval, then how are we then in this meeting? Are we going to be able to assess the progress made by the department as per your last presentation? And just very few things, Chairperson. Those were my worries, they were not my questions, Chairperson. I just came to the questions. No, I'm saying these questions I'm going to ask. Maybe if we had that detailed report, I hope we're going to be able to do that, because maybe something has been done or not. I'm not sure. I just want to check that in this structure, the approved or proposed structure, the migration process that you have mentioned here, have it been consulted with the staff, especially the affected? My experience with the SABC turnaround strategy is that if you don't do that, you'll have the Banana Republic DOC or department. Has it happened? Are the staff in the DOC who are affected aware of the same process? You don't wait till the process is over, then you say now we are implementing without engaging them or the labor movement. I'm also interested on that to know how many females do we have currently in the existing structure, so that when you migrate to the new structure, then you'll be able to say, yeah, if, because I can see it's not a reduction of the current structure, you'll be adding, in fact. Maybe that addition, you might even consider to take females if the current ones that we have. I'm referring to only top management level. The issue of job creation has been addressed by Unondaba, but again, in your report, I'm not sure if the document that I have is the same as you have. On your slide number 5 on job creation, you are saying unlocking the potential of the industry to create jobs. For how long are you going to unlock? The president has made it clear, jobs, jobs, jobs. Today you'll be saying to us, so many jobs have been created within the department, or through the influence of the department. But if you come and look, and look, and look, and look, I mean, it's not what the president said. And that's how, unfortunately, as politicians, especially from the ruling party, we are measured down there. I want to come back after 5 years, unfortunately. Okay. So if you don't implement this, that means I'm not coming back. The ANC manifesto says, jobs, jobs, jobs. And the ANC is ruling this country. So we must create, this unlocking thing is continuous. And then on the post bank, there I just need a... Should I wait for one of our installers to talk about it? Okay. Okay. And then on the post bank, I know that the presenter really tried to clarify that, but maybe, I don't know where my mind was, if you can elaborate further. Because here you are saying, maybe I'm confused, proclamation notice of the post bank prepared and signed by the president, however, it could not be implemented. A new proclamation has been drafted and sent to the minister. During the presentation, you said the president has signed. Maybe if you can just clear my mind on that. Maybe they didn't hear you correctly. Maybe it's my fault, Chairperson. It's just my fault to bear with me. On the digital migration project office structure, any cost there? And if there's any cost that has to work at, how much? And how has been spent thus far? On slide number 12, on the pre-inspection for the rollout of broadcasting infrastructure in 15 community radio stations. You know, Chairperson, which obviously I will ask, which ones, these 15, is it including FM or is it what? And what criteria did you use to select those 15 radio stations? And the very last thing, Chairperson, yeah, in regard to slide number 17, on 8 municipalities, in regard to e-cooperatives, which municipality and what criteria also have been used to identify those ones? Last one is, oh, I think, on page 15, in the last one, check. They have some covered by Comrade Stella. In regard to slide number 30, the youth and ICT strategy, I just want to check if there's any role played by the NYDA in this regard, as they are there to deal with young people. Are they part or they are consulted on any matter regarding to this? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I don't see any hand. Oh, Master.
Chairperson, thank you.
not going to make more noise and join the chorus, but I think I'm persuaded to do so about the structure of the report that were given today. And I hope from the previous speakers that the DOC is going to improve, because I was asking Zebe here, because I seem not to understand where am I. Yeah, you know, it's quite elaborate, and being elaborate doesn't have the indicator, so you just get lost. Everything is in the pipeline, most of the things, but I hope we are going to have improvement. I just wanted to know, Chairperson, you know, I'm concerned about it. I'm a person of times, you know. I'm very much interested in the digital migration and where in South Africa are we heading to? Because we went to various places overseas to compare a lot of things. You remember, Honorable Chair. And I don't expect to be asking such questions to the department. I'm talking about the Program 3 ICT policy development. I've read in one of the documents here that the DOC, because it is supposed to develop strategies that create the uptake and usage of ICTs. Now, my question is, according to the 2011 estimates, the expenditure, the DOC has set a target of 7. That's what I was talking about just now. My confusion here is the 15 that Zebe was talking about. I wanted to know how do you get the 15, and what vis-a-vis the 7 that we know the broadcasting station. Maybe they can give me light. And also on the, my other question is on the set-top boxes. We had a deadline here of June 2011, somebody tried to explain. I'm just interested to know whether the set-top boxes manufacturing set-top development strategy is has been submitted to Cabinet, Minister, and DG. And on the Presidential National Commission Program 6, my question is, what are the quarterly service achievements for Program 6, given that most of measurable objectives are to be realized towards the end of financial year 12, 18, 14? So far, I think I've got those questions for now, Chairperson. I don't want to elaborate more and confuse you extra more while you are confused by the structure of report that you have received today. Thank you.
Honorable Ndabe.
Chairperson. Yeah, I indicated that I will come back for questions. Chairperson, one of the speakers from my side indicated that ADOC is leading the DTT. Now, my main question or interest is to know whether do we have a digital migration policy in place. If we do have, has it been circulated amongst our stakeholders so that they have a clear direction on what is it that we need to be done? Or the last thing, Chairperson. Okay, let me not get into it because it goes back to your issue of not indicating targets. So I'll be repeating myself. Take over, Chair.
I don't see any other hand.
Chair, sorry.
Is the hand on the structure?
On the
on my arrival in this committee. Some of the challenges that were highlighted was the proper management of the SOEs and the DOC. And some of the reasons that were given was that the level of the person that liaises or manages the SOEs is very low. I can imagine, DG, if you are told that you are to be managed from a performance and evaluation ministry, and then the person who deals with your management is at a chief director level, what will be the impact of that? If you expect a DG to be managed by someone at a chief director level. I'm raising this because I'm looking into your structure on ICT SOE something. You will note the page. I don't know where is it now. Sorry. SOE, the Enterprise Development and SOE Oversight. We're dealing with big SOEs, your SABC, for example, your ICASA, and all those. But the person who is going to be liaising, saying, SABC, you are out of line. This is how you are supposed to do things, is a chief director. My assumption is that as a SABC CEO, I'll be forced to delegate the function to a chief director. Maybe if you are to help me also, I see up there, there's a branch. Maybe the person who's heading that is the DDG. But under the DDG, is other person allocated to deal with specific SOEs. Hence, I'm referring to this person dealing with SABC. It is incorrect again if what these people are doing. Well, that's my understanding of the structure. You have this DDG at this level, then you have these members that are dealing with the individual sectors, your SABC, your post office, your whoever and whoever there, whom are at the chief director level. Do you think that helps the DOC in terms of managing the parastatals? Unless you are going to tell me that that DDG is the one who will be dealing with those entities. Coming back to, I think the first page, the one with the CFO on your corporate thing. I'm not sure what's the page number. Yeah, slide number 4. I see there's a DG, and I assume that branch is the DDG. Then I find the CFO at the chief director level. If one can take me through what causes that. If you have a CFO at a chief director level, what's the impact that is going to have of the same level of a chief director than the CFO? Thanks for now.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. Maybe I'll start with the last question first. And I think there's a collection of issues that deal with the organizational structure. I think it's correct that we are transiting between two structures. So we have a structure which we've inherited, and because we have judged that the structure that we've inherited is not conducive, not appropriate to the kind of program we are going to implement in the thing, we have motivated for a new type of structure. So the essential difference is that we're not just adding on the existing structure, we're retooling the department. And we're retooling the department in terms of certain key strategic outcomes that we must have the capability to achieve. Now, one such thing is what Honorable Ndabeni raised. You will see that in the structure, in one of the components of the structure, one of the branches, we deal with ICT enterprise development and state-owned enterprise oversight. And the structure we have here is far more elaborate than what existed in the past. And the reason for that is that we make an assessment that in the past, the relationship between state-owned entities and the department was very loose, undefined, very unstructured, uncoordinated, and in most cases, the operational working relationship resolved around the state-owned entities interpreting what the policy positions and directions are coming from the ministry and the department. Now, we want to tighten that up because we are taking the view that the state-owned entities are the implementation apparatuses of the department. And even if they are the implementation apparatuses of the department, they have to work in very tight and close harmony with the programs that the department has defined, because that program is aligned centrally with the government's program. So we have to get a lineup going. Now, one of the key strategic initiatives in this program, in the strategic plan that we have stated, is to build more effective, cohesive partnerships with industry. And that has not been a dominant feature in the way the department has worked in the past. Now, if we get that relationship right, there are so many things that the government has stated that will assist us in achieving. Now, one of the central things that we will find synergy in achieving the outcomes of government is the enunciation by the President that 2011 must be a year for job creation. And all of us now have come to accept the truth that it's not governments that creates jobs. It's the private sector that creates jobs. The role of government is to work with the private sector and to provide a stable, regulatory, conducive environment within which the private sector can thrive. That means working closely together. It means understanding what their policy requirements are, what the regulatory concessions are, and being able to create the atmosphere within which that is. So you'll see here that there's an elaborate structure which even puts in place a special advisory council on this matter. And that's an example of how the structure that we are going into will be more fitter for the programs that we are. Now, on the question that Honorable Ndebele raised about whether a chief director at the broadcasting policy sector level is responsible for directing, let's say, a CEO of the SABC, it doesn't practically work like that. Because the relationships between, take the South African Broadcasting Corporation and the department, is managed at several levels. It's a relationship between the board, the minister. That's the first line relationship. It's the relationship between the CEO and the officials of the senior officials of the board and the director general and her senior officials. What you are looking at here are the technical specialist support staff that we are creating in the structure that would support the intervention that the higher level team must make. So, example, if the CEO of the SABC is consulting with the Director General, it is not necessary that the Director General must know every detailed thing about the day-to-day movement of certain things. She will call on the chief director for broadcasting and say, this is the information I want, this is the report I want, and she will get that support. So we are creating specialists for these different state-owned entities at a technical level. But when it comes to negotiations, when it comes to counseling, when it comes to managing, it's stratified at the upper levels of leadership in the department and in the ministry. And that's the principle as to how it works. Now, the second one that was raised with respect to structures is international. And what's the strategy and focus, and how do we bring the benefit to the people? Our relationships with countries have been guided by three things. One is that we're trying to stimulate greater inter-country trade. We're trying to stimulate better political relations between two countries. And thirdly, we're all the time looking for training and development and resource opportunities between countries. Things that we can share with other countries and other countries can share with us. And in that way, we try to capacitate both the departmental staff so that their standards are raised, they're able to understand the international world and how the ICT thing works, and they are able to open up bridges and pathways to a whole range of other players. For example, when we go on a visit to a particular country, like if we go to Egypt and we make a study tour of the Center for Natural Museum, and we are looking at how Egypt has been able to digitize its natural history, we will bring that here and we will translate it in the projects that are dealing with military veterans. We have a special project that deals with military veterans, and we have to digitize the content. There are stacks and stacks of historical material lying in the SABC that have to be digitized. There's the whole museums around the country, and everybody in government sees us as the doorway to bringing the experience and all of these things, and we try to get this out of international partnerships. So that's how the thing works in practice. The second set of questions that I think are important deal with what I hear a lot of members speak to, is the frustration of having to deal with a quarterly report in what somebody very aptly called a teletext or telegram way. Now, it's true. When you look at these reports, they are one-liners. But I can give you the assurance, behind that one-liner is probably a box full of documents that you need to look at. Now, I think the problem is, the problem is not ours. It's not this meeting. The problem is that we have to find a different system of working in Parliament in which you can be informed more adequately in the detail that you want. Now, the quarterly report meeting that you are having right now doesn't give you the opportunity to do that, because you want to just make an on-the-spot quarterly assessment of whether this department is making progress or not, whether it is meeting its stated objectives in the strat plan. And by the nature of that, you just can't go into a detailed reporting on every single element. That's why it takes the form. But I think that there's a gap there. We must try to find creative ways to fill it. For example, it's entirely inadequate in this report. If you were looking for a report on digital migration, and if we're trying to deal with the question that Funnenberg asks, where are we now? I was tempted to say for Honorable Funnenberg that if you ask the question, where is the DFC now, they'll tell you in Ipari or Ipak. But now, if we ask the question from this report, can we get an answer where are we in the digital migration project? And I'll tell you, it's very difficult to sift it out from here. Because what you're getting from here are just flagship moments of how the process is moving. So maybe we need to have a set of information sessions, quite separately from this, on specific things where briefings are given. And members who are available can come and get a detailed briefing. For example, if we want to give a briefing on the digital migration process, we have a briefing on it. If it's a DTT, we have a briefing on the DTT. So you can get the detailed information, and you can get the opportunity to engage with the process, because part of the problem is that you're also frustrated because you'd like to get engaged with it. You'd like to make inputs in it, and we somehow don't have to structure it. But where are we on the digital migration program? We've we've got certain parameters clearly established. We've established the standards in the country. We've decided when we will close off the analog signal. And we've been given a date, which is unshiftable, December 2013. We have started to move the whole family of institutions to start converging together in ensuring that we execute this program on time. Now, in order to do that, it means that that movement is going to take place on several tracks. The first track is a regulatory track, which means that all the questions pertaining to the regulatory standards that have to be established must be put in place, and that's chiefly led by ICASA. And there's a great amount of collaboration between ICASA, the broadcasters, and the department, and we are converging on most of the critical things that have to be finalized, and we are nearly there. The second thing has to deal with us being able to mobilize the manufacturing sector in this country to produce the boxes. Now, if we do that, we can easily say, you four guys who are currently dominant in this industry, you can go and take the responsibility to produce only 5,000 boxes that we're subsidizing, 5 million boxes for 9 million households. We're subsidizing 5 million. That means we are going to contribute nearly 70% of the 700 of that boxes. So we can give it to four guys, and then they say, okay, they'll take it, and they can produce it in no time, bing, bang, and it's there, and the only thing is we've got to take it and make sure that the households get it, but we have to know which households need it, which households are going to get it. But we're saying there's a larger question. The question we're asking ourselves is, can we use this project to revitalize the electronics industry so that we address the job creation strategy? And we are saying revitalizing the electronics industry means not just looking at set-top box manufacturing, you look at the whole value chain and see whether you can encourage entrepreneurs to come in. Satellite dishes, aerials, installation equipment, cabling. So the whole value chain must be looked at. And set-top box is a central element, an important element, and we want to raise the base of the industry from four people to seven players. So there's a bit of a delay on the manufacturing strategy because we're arguing inside the department, well, why should we just get four? Or why should we just get six? Can't we make seven or eight so that we can double up the capacity? Because suddenly the opportunity is not just South Africa. It is the 22 SADC countries that have determined the common standards. So there's a big opportunity here for export. So we have to get that track right, Mr. Wittenberg, and we're nearly there. The matter has not gone to cabinet yet. We expect it to go to cabinet within the next 2 or 3 weeks. Because it's been to cabinet before, we don't think that there will be serious difficulties about that. But we are saying, the third thing is, when are we launching the digital program? We're launching the digital program, we said, the signal from April 2012. So from April 2012 to December 2013, that's what we call the dual elimination period, and it's the thing, that period where everything must happen. So that's where we are going to. Then there's the matter of communications. We have to make people be aware. And our experiences, we've just been to London, talking to the BBC, looking at how broadcasters work in this, looking at how Britain has handled the digital migration process and so on. And one thing that comes out very clearly, you have to inform consumers, and they have to have an understanding as to why this thing is happening and why it is necessary for them to acquire a set-top box. So we have to implement a vigorous awareness campaign on that one. That's about the fourth track that we have to do. right? And of course, the fifth track is none of all of these things can happen because it happens in different centers in this family of institutions. If you don't bring them all together, centralize them, and coordinate them to a dedicated instrument, like a project office. So we're doing something very radically different here. We're not implementing this project in the normal course of the department's work. We are creating a specific structure that will be 100% focused on just implementing this program. And we, government works, you know, because you guys want accountability for the bucks we spend. So we have to do things properly. We have to set up the structure, we have to do job evaluations, we have to justify, we have to advertise and all of that stuff, and that takes a bit of time. But we've got all those processes complete, and we expect by January, February, the office will be fully functional and operating. So that's where we are on the digital migration program.
Thank you.
I think that's it, Comrade Chair.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Those who look at the program, 19 and 20 September, we've got 2 days full for digital migration. So we are clear in terms that 2 days we are dealing with a quarterly report only, nothing else. We just want a quarterly report. That's all. 19-20, 2 days, digital migration. So we are clear. We don't need any information today. Anything, we need a quarterly report. That's all. So, DOC, can you respond on the other issues? Yes.
The same thing that we are saying with regard to digital migration. The other thing is this awareness campaign. I hear the minister is speaking about the awareness campaign focusing mainly on the sort of process. But I can tell you, now where I come from in those rural areas, people know nothing about migration. They know nothing about the situation and ops. They know nothing. So what is the role and the status of the digital Dzonga currently? Because really not enough has been done currently. And we're in 2011 now.
My worry is time that some of you will be leaving now at 12. Mm-hmm. Can we go to quarterly reports? That's what we are here for. There's no ambiguity. We need a quarterly report. That's all. We're clear on the program. There's no ambiguity. There's no problem. When we need details, we call public hearings for details. When we need specific, we do the specific. We want a quarterly report. Dosi?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Maybe just to add on what the Minister was saying. With regard to DTT for the quarter one report, the main critical areas was the scheme of ownership that the minister was talking about, where it needs to be approved by cabinet. There was a consultation process strongly with USASA in terms of how we would deal with the subsidy. It's an area that we need cabinet approval. Once the process can be locked and that also deals with the funding, it will then assist us in moving forward together with the sector box manufacturing strategy to get to a point beyond quarter one, where I think that minister was talking about the identification of the service provider. But I think in the main is the approval processes of the scheme of ownership, the set-top box manufacturing strategy, and also coupled to that, what we are taking also to Parliament is the DTT project plan, which we will be presenting in the next week or two to Parliament. Now, the next question that was also raised, which is where are we with regard to DTT? I think Minister dealt with it in terms of the launch and the deadline that we are working towards. And on the SOE, maybe just to add on also what the minister was saying, the chief directors, the structure that we are looking at, let's say, for example, entities, they submit their quarter one performance report. How it gets into the department is through my office. It then gets routed to the department for analysis. These people, therefore, are the machinery behind us informing what is happening in the entity. the submission then comes back, whether it's submission that would end with me or the minister. But these are the people in the main who are responsible for the actual missionary analysis. But like what Minister was saying, the meetings with the SOEs or whether it's the chairperson, it will either involve myself or involve the minister, depending on whether it's at the board level or the CEO. On the issue of the CFO, which is a chief director, I think it depends on how big a department is or whether you can delegate the CFO.
Sorry, PC, what's the proceeding? She has been outside, unfortunately, because we don't have time. We're not going to break. So those who want tea or something, they'll go and pick it and come back.
In our consultation with DPSA on whether the CFO is the chief director or is the DDG, it's a matter that we deliberated on. And we felt that because the technical capability in terms of the finances are sitting with the chief director, because this is the person who would be appointed with financial skills, therefore that we designate the chief director to be the CFO. Hence why you see the dotted line in terms of the reporting, I think a solid line to the DG and dotted line to the DDG corporate services. So that because the DGs are accountable for the finances of the department, hence why the relationship with the CFO. But day-to-day things like your leave forms and all that, those are things that now get signed by the DDG corporate services. On the question of the community radio station, this is mainly how it works. Communities, they would work together and apply for a license with the ICASA. Once they are licensed a community radio station, they would then approach the department to fund them for the infrastructure. What we then do is that we go through a process of a site visit, a feasibility study, just to check what is happening. What we then do, once we get to a point where we believe that there is a governance in place and they would be able to deal with establishment of the community radio, as a department, we only fund the infrastructure, that is the studio, and we go through a process of funding community radios. Obviously, depending on how many community radios have been licensed by ICASA, but more important, how many also approaches us, it determines the number. You'd find maybe in 1 year, you know, the figure could be more, but the following year could be less. So it's not something that you can predetermine, because it's more community based driven, so to say.
Sorry to interrupt. Mm. On that note, I think the question that honourable member carried on is that in your NE, your ENE, your estimates or whatever, you have said on your target, it's 7 community radio stations. Mm. And then in this document, your strategic plan, you said 15. Then the question is, why the difference in terms of targets? With ENE, you have 7, and then the strategy is 15. What informs that, the difference there? Thank you.
No thanks, Honorable Chairperson. The 15 is for the entire e-financial year. Yes. We have a sales provider that we've contracted to do the 15. That we spoke about. Now, before you roll out the infrastructure, you need to do what you call pre-inspection. So we have done for all of them. But in terms of the rollout of the infrastructure, we will therefore deal with them as part of the E&E, as it were. So do one, two, and then you move to the next one. 15 is for the entire one. Some of them I'm helping.
On whether we've contracted on the structure, Honourable Chairperson, we have. Obviously, the fact that there will be employees who are going to be affected, you cannot guarantee that, you know, there wouldn't be unhappiness. But the manner that we would want to manage the process is in such a way that we don't find ourselves in the same situation that we were a few years ago, where we've got a number of employees out of the box. So we are saying lesson learned from what happened in the past. Let's see how we can manage the process in such a way that we minimize out of the box. Obviously, at the end of the day, it's still dependent on how we can negotiate with employees, especially those you find that the structure that they had or the box that they had when they were appointed in the department, it doesn't exist. Therefore, you have to migrate them into a new position, which therefore requires that some of them, you have to retrain them. So it's an area that we are hoping that we should be able to negotiate with the employees so that they see that there are still opportunities for them to grow in the department. And so in a nutshell, that's basically what we are hoping, you know, the outcome would be.
Didrick, that question was coupled with mine on the fact that we are still going to undergo
finances and learnings. I will also honorable member and then proceed to respond to questions.
With regard to the youth and ICT strategy, we have definitely consulted with NYDA. I think, like enough, the chief director responsible is someone that also comes from the youth commission background. The next question. I think maybe just to support what the minister is saying is that these targets are around, you know, the 12 months. We've broken them down into quarterly reports. Hence why I think it's the technicality of how do you report it in such a way that you provide sufficient information. But I think while we're engaging, Gift was actually, you know, he has got his own file in terms of, you know, that each branch will have a thick file that therefore consolidates the individual reporting. But maybe the question, Minister, is how do we strike the balance to ensure that we report in such a way that we answer the questions? The questions that were raised by honourable members are valid, so that we are able to report in such a way that you know, we give them a sense of where we are. But I think question is, how do we strike the balance between quarter one, knowing that it's a milestone, it's a progress to date, towards the end of the year? I think that's mainly it, that you are working towards March 2012, but you're still in June 2011. But I don't know if you want to add.
Thanks, DJ. The question on the conducting of skills audit. The Honorable Member Ndaben correctly said the function follows the structure. Yes, under normal circumstances. In this case, the department was undergoing an institutional review and realignment process. So in this case, we were anticipating changes on the functions of the department. As we all aware that an ICT industry is forever evolving. So here we start with identification of the function based on the strategic plans and the government priorities. Then we create the structure that we deliver on the function. Then the question arises that what do I have currently in terms of skills? Will what I have respond to the needs that have been identified? Then that's when we'll conduct an audit on the existing skills to determine the skills gap and address the problem. And there was also a question on the number of female employees. The gender parity is currently, we have at SMS 2.29% people with disabilities, 38.4% females. In numbers, we currently have 35 females in the department, SMS, 30 Africans, 2 colors, 1 Indian, 2 whites. And the question on the migration specifically, if it has been consulted. Firstly, the people who are mostly affected could be the non-SMS. So the department will have now to finalize the structure, including non-SMS. And then the DOC executive has to decide, as I reported earlier, that we are currently in a process of putting together a migration process. So the DOC executive will decide on the migration process that has to be adopted by the department. Then the consultations will take place once we know what migration process we're going to use as a department. Thank you.
Chairperson,
just a concern again. I hear what my colleague from the other side is saying, good how they've approached this process. But one of the honourable members raised a very critical thing. This structure that you are presenting here, we don't want you to come back next year and telling us that you are reviewing your structure again, because you cannot deliver on what you have proposed that you are going to deliver. That is why it is important. I understand the situation is abnormal, but processes are processes. Normal, abnormal, or whatever, but processes must be processes. Because we don't want to find yourself in a situation where you have the structure that already has been approved. And then when you go and do your skills audit, you identify a number of gaps in terms of skilling. You know, so if you'll be able to retrain those people to achieve those or to acquire those skills, or you have to source new skills at all. And then it means it's going to have an effect on your organogram again. That's what we are just concerned about. That's the only thing. But the second thing, Jefferson, I'm not sure I went out to get some tea. Maybe the question was responded to, was whether we do have a digital migration policy in place. Thank you.
Can I respond to this one, Honorable? Oh, my apology. Mom will tell you what. Yeah, my Chairperson, you know, I want to make a right at what the DGF just said about the ICT infrastructure development. I accept the explanation she has given us. You know, we are charged with the responsibility of going to our constituencies. We've got so many students that are interested, you know, to acquire these diplomas. I wanted to know whether the ICT has expanded the existing partnership between the key role players, education, business, and government. Because then it will give us hope that in future we can really have more graduates. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the issue of the policy, we do have a digital migration policy which was approved, I think it was in 2008. One of the things that the policy spoke to was dual illumination and switch off in 2011. That's the one. It also referred to the standard SDDBT. Now, following those changes with regard to the standard, that is SADC adopting DDBT2, and also last year Minister took a proposal, a recommendation to Cabinet that as a country we also adopt DDBT2, that's the one, but also the fact that we missed the 2011 deadline, but also the fact that we were also signatory to the SADC decisions of switching off in 2013 amongst those, then required us to amend the digital migration policy, which we have. We are currently now consulting on the policy, that is the amended policy. It has been gazetted to be taken back to Parliament, mainly, you know, dealing with DDBT2, but also the deadline of 2013.
Members are running out of time to take the next presentation. I'm not sure how many questions are remaining. Honourable Velma, we are next. Honourable Mangoto, I go. For Velma.
No.
For Trochet.
I think you wanted to add.
Yes. Okay. Can you add quick?
Yeah, it's only international that the Honourable Reverend Francis Wondi has asked. I think the cooperation agreements depend on each country. For instance, in our relationship with Mozambique is based on frequency band and cross border between us, where Mkuze is and Pongola is where there's frequency allocation issues and challenges that we're having, where they're seeing SABC, the true sense, and other related issues. But on others, we have them with us here, there's the one that we have with Tunis. On Tunis, there are a number of elements. There's element of technical cooperation where we look at regulatory issues and administrative issues. There's issues of improving quality of service, affordability and effectiveness in line with the development and research agenda. There's issues of e-government, e-health and e-education and joint programming on which that relates to some of the AU projects. So we then look at each country, what we want. with this frequency issue, be digital migration with this World Information Society agreements and agenda issues and other ITU related issues like the World Radio Conference and the standards issue, where we will see that there are areas of convergence. But each and every MOU depends, and that will benefit the South Africans in the long run, both in terms of creating of opportunities. If we happen to do very well on manufacturing, we will then sell to the rest of the 15 countries inside that. If we happen to manufacture from here and open industries and we create jobs, then we limit also the movement of people from their countries to our country.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Coming back to the digital migration, my concern is the public don't know about this digital migration. I need to know when are the information going out to the public. My constituency has been asking me, I don't know, I can't inform them. They're asking me who's going to get their set-up boxes. People on grants, will they be able to get set-up boxes? People with disabilities, will they get set-up boxes? Will you only tell me next year to tell my constituents? We have 2012 to 2013, but when are the information going out to the public? And BBC, they were in way in advance. They were been informing the people, going to the people's homes, having a huge campaign. I'm just asking, will this be done in this year still? And then my second question, this is a new question, about the RICA. I'm concerned with the slide that we explained. The RICA directive amended to the address, and then the second one, while doing the RICA, some issues did come up. So I assume the public, we assume that the public feel that the RICA process has been completed. But will you amend it and then go back to the public and inform them that they need to RICA again? This information is not clear.
Two questions. One, when, this year or next year, just one line answer. Second, are you going to go back to the public about RICA? One answer. I don't want to preamble. Just straight to the
Quickly, Chairperson, on the issue of DTT and awareness in also preparation for the launch. We started, I think, in October, November this year, preparing for the launch in April. On the issue of the RICA Act, when it was approved or drafted at the time, it was aligned to the old telecom law, where the service provider at the time was set to as your fixed or mobile or SNO. What we are mainly doing with amending the RICA is to align it with the ECA, where now you've got an electronic communication network service provider and all that. It's from a legislation point of view. So we don't need to go back to the public.
Extension of reaching date is only the terminology in terms of the legislation, which are aligned. That's the issue. Any other response?
Chairperson, thank you. If I could just add to what the DG has said, the RICA Act deals with a number of various issues, and the issue of the public having to RICA SIM cards was but one aspect of this, and there will definitely be no going back to the public to have to re-RICA SIM cards. The issues that are being dealt with are totally separate from that. So there would be no impact on the public on the issues. It is merely to bring the RICA directives in line with new legislation. Thank you.
Anything else, Digi?
Chairperson, I just wanted to add by saying that we recognize there's been a bit of a delay and setback on the communications campaign on the digital migration, but we certainly do intend to implement a vigorous campaign from this year going forward. Just the last point is that I heard one of the members say, in reference to the expenditure, that we had spent 18%. Oh, okay. Because I'm looking at this figure here, and it says we've spent 80% of the quarterly budget. I just want to correct that. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I think, members, the difficult thing here, I've been allowing us to talk. Firstly, the difficult thing, we're not given only the quota report, we're given other things. We had nothing to do with the quota report. That was one problem. Second is what the members have raised to say the problem is that maybe it does not compare. This was the quota target. This is where we are. In a nice way, that narrative. What you need blocks. This is the quarterly report, this is the target, then the next block which will be talking to us is the second one, this is how we perform, that's all. So that's what we needed, actually. The just a block that this is where first quarter to achieve maybe 800, then the next one is 600, then the next one you explain why we have not reached the 800 or why we have exceeded and so on and so on. So that's type of information which we wanted and so on. But I thought that there is no harm in giving more information so that we also understand some of the issues and so on. I'm just raising that because the entities who must still also come here to do their quarterly reports so that they understand exactly that the quarterly reports, what you said you achieve in a quarter, what have you achieved, what are the reasons to achieve or not to achieve and so on. The member engage on that. The second part is the expenditure part. When you come and request the budget, you also attach money. The only thing sometimes that when you came and report is that some of those amounts were not we didn't break it down to understand per line item. I think the only entity went through that is around this MTVA or NEMISA or USAS or something like that. That assists us to know that even when you say I'm going to do this with this amount, have you spent as we have planned in that particular quarter? So it has not just the percentage, it's exact on the item. How much have we spent with SAPO bill? How much have we don't know. But we know we've finished SAPO bill, but in monetary terms, we don't know how much is, and so on. So those are the things which we want to do. So it becomes, it is a matter of an hour that if we focus on the actual work at hand, which we should be doing around the quarterly reports and so on. But I think it was more valuable, the information and the other things which we have given and so on. I hope when we go to the second or the third quarter, I doubt that we'll do the second quarter because annual reports will be at play at that particular time. We'll see if we do the third quarter. I hope that it will be exactly what we want to be presented so that the process moves faster. In fact, when I was saying as communication, you take yourself alone today, they were asking, but what you'll be doing for the entire 4 hours? Within 4 hours, you can take 5 entities. In terms of quarterly report, if we're reporting in terms of the quarterly report, with the time we had, we could take 5 entities and we're done. Because it's a clear issue where you focus. You don't just go all over around those particular matters and so on. But we hope that will improve as we move forward. But part of the issues members understand, last week we had a workshop auditor general. Part of the problem is that the plans which we have accepted to a certain extent which have been presented are not smart. Some of them is even difficult to pin down exactly what has been achieved because they were not smart. So are difficult to do those particular things and so on. So we think as we move forward we'll be able to improve around those particular matters and so on. Thanks very much, Minister, DG, and your team. We are going to the next issue. We are owing us local loop and banding report, our progress report.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Comrade Chair, on the matter of the local loop and bundling. As you know, there is a policy directive that's in force, which calls upon the regulator to implement plans to unbundle by November this year. And this directive has been in force now for 4 years, and work has been done in various strands by the regulator on trying to achieve this. We have been in very frequent and regular consultation with the regulator on this matter, and in our last engagement
we've tried to establish whether the regulator would be ready to complete this process or ask the question at what stage of readiness would the regulator be by November this year. Now, we are informed that the process will require a considerable amount of more time with respect to unbundling. And we have set down a bilateral meeting with the regulator for next week, where we are engaging on the response and to get a clear and precise way forward on how we deal with this matter at the end of the meeting next week. And I think that we would be able to then give the committee a much clearer response to the question of what our view would be on the unbundling question after we've had the opportunity to engage with the regulator in more detail, greater detail next week.
Member, that's the issue where we are in terms of the local loop unbundling. Any clarities, question? Honorable Ndaben?
Not a clarity, Chair. Rather than saying I hear the response of the minister, but then from what he said, he mentioned that he's going to have a meeting that is scheduled with the regulator. Can you give us a time frame when is he going to come back and give us a proper report?
Okay. Any other member wants to talk on the matter?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've heard what the Minister said about that, the fact that CASA is not ready. They're busy 4 years with the whole process. But I think, Honourable Chairperson, it's so easy just to come back to this committee and say, we need more time, we need more time. And I don't think this is acceptable, and in due respect, Minister, therefore I've got the idea that the department is the chief in this whole instance, and I think it's so easy for the SOEs to come away with anything, we're not ready, give more time, and now the rest of the whole South Africa, you know, there's a lot of people that can create jobs in this whole environment, but they are on the hold now because ICASA is not ready. Is that unacceptable, Chairperson?
I think there are two. There was one question: how much deadline do you need after your meeting, Honourable Van der Berg? Where I comment. You can engage into that. But we need just more or less an indication. Like, I think what's important...
With your permission, Honourable Chair, we were given an undertaking that we'll come back to the committee within a fortnight from the meeting.
Members, the indication is that the minister... One thing I arrived with, Honourable Fanerbert, is that it's a policy directive of the minister. It is a prerogative of the minister on how to take the process forward. But the legislation requires that to a certain extent the minister must consult the regulator in doing whatever the minister is doing. So the request is that they request that they further engage, they started engagement. They want to further engage in terms of this matter, and then in 2 weeks' time, they will come back or revert back to the committee. I hope if ICASA could not do it in 4 years, and the entire country has waited for 4 years, 2 weeks, the country is not going to collapse. Thanks very much, members. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
But it was business. Yeah, but I mean, I used to be doing a postgraduate degree.
I was. I just finished a writing in communication.
No, it's course was justice and transformation.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you've done politics.
Yes.
And what what you're going to do after that. Join the VA. No, I'm applying for jobs. Is it going to be quite difficult? I've really been looking for one.
Yeah, but don't give up. If I also didn't have a requirement, and then I'm going to
given the emphasis on, you know, the bottom line and business and commerce and industry and blah, blah, blah. But, I think, sadly, the country tends not to look at the way we use our skills holistically, and they tend to put things in little boxes that are really good science. It really informs an awful lot of what